Well, I married Nigel in middle age, and that's a wonderful thing. There's lots of joys that come with middle-aged marriage, and some challenges as well, as perhaps you might expect. The obvious ones, kind of combining families and houses and even bank accounts, we navigated reasonably well. But some challenges reared their heads rather unexpectedly and caught us unawares. Who knew, for example, that there were so many different ways of putting covers on duvets? Do you know, actually, there's videos on TikTok as well as YouTube about how to put a duvet cover on. The challenge is not that I think Nigel is incapable of putting a duvet cover on. Obviously, he can. He's had many decades of experience. The issue is that I was actually perfectly happy with my method and process and struggled to have the patience or even bother to think creatively that another way might do the trick. And of course, the issue only ever really arose when we actually tried to behave like a married couple and do it together. It was perfectly simple when I did it on my own. So I just wonder, would you just like to turn to somebody near you and just think about, are there some ways of doing things that you kind of feel you've got it sorted, you know best? Well, well done. There's no fisticuffs that I've seen anyway, so that's really good. Well, of all the challenges of bringing two lives together, certainly duvet covers was unexpected. And I think it's often the unexpected that catches us off our guard, and it can lead us to flounder sometimes. And when I was pondering on these Bible readings earlier this week, it was the unexpected parts of them that kind of caught my attention. As on Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the revelation of God incarnate in Jesus Christ, with a particular focus on the Magi and non-Jews. Well, for us now, this is quite a familiar passage from Matthew. The Magi, or the wise men, or astrologers, or whatever they were, make a determined and costly quest to acknowledge and worship the newborn king. I happen to see this. Can you see that cartoon? It was in the Times. I quite like the fact that lateral flow tests at the moment are as costly as gold. Well, let's just have a look at the Magi first and the unexpected circumstances of the new king. They stop off in Jerusalem, which isn't really a great surprise because that's where you'd expect a king to be. And they get a little bit of local knowledge and understanding because that's what they need for their mission. And it feels a little bit to me as though it's a scene from a play that might be called Only Very Important People Allowed. Because they arrive in this capital city and make some inquiries, and perhaps influenced by their apparent wealth, and very important people are soon involved in the quest. So we have King Herod, we have the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. But where is the child king? In a setting that couldn't be further from the powerhouse of Jerusalem, Matthew records the Magi arriving at a house and meeting just Mary and Jesus. So the picture on the left is Herod's temple in Jerusalem. And the picture on the right is a typical first century house in Bethlehem, allegedly. And in what surely must have come as a most unexpected surprise to the Magi, they capture something of the glory of God when they look at that little child. And they bow down and they worship him. Wouldn't you just have loved to have been privy to their conversation afterwards? Do you think that's what they expected as they began their journey? I wonder what they were thinking when they laid down those gifts, and that's the one on the red, of gold, incense, and myrrh. I wonder if they wished they'd bought some baby groves or food to this poor young lady. Yet actually there was no hint of consternation amongst them, only joy and worship, and then they went on their way. However, for King Herod, those unexpected visitors, he had a very different reaction, and we are told that he was disturbed. After all, if there was a new king born, then his power and status was going to be threatened. And as far as Herod was concerned, that threat would need to be eliminated. And so the scene is set for Herod to display unimaginable brutality and genocide. There's something here in Herod's reaction to these unexpected guests that actually makes our hearts stop, doesn't it, and our blood run cold. For the first century Jewish listeners of or readers of this passage in Matthew, they were also grappling with the unexpected. They had expected there to be a different sort of Messiah, of Savior and Rescuer, one who would liberate them from the Roman army. And so to realize that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the Messiah, well, that took some grappling with. Plus, of course, was the baffling realization that Gentiles were being welcomed into the fold as well. These Magi were not Jews. And we can imagine, can't we, much heart-searching and searching of the Hebrew scriptures as they try to readjust their thinking in line with the events that have happened. For us, as part of the Church of Jesus Christ today, I think that's probably less of an issue for us. But there's still something unexpected in this story for us too. How would we react today if we heard about folks obtaining divine guidance via stargazing? How would we feel about someone receiving revelation from God by following a star? I think discussions in the Christian world around guidance from God is and has been ongoing, because, and for obvious reasons, because we all in the church are seeking guidance from God. We want to know what to do with our lives. But I can honestly say that in all the Christian books I have ever read on this subject, looking at the stars was never recommended. In fact, I would go so far as to say it was discouraged, positively discouraged. And yet, there is something here that God is using a most unexpected way of revealing himself and leading people to worship Jesus Christ. I wonder, have you ever been caught by surprise about something about God and the way that he has revealed himself? Have a little think, maybe chat to somebody next to you. Has there been something unexpected about God that has caught you by surprise? Well, I've just got one last kind of maybe unexpected truth coming out of these passages, in particularly the Isaiah one now. In that I think as churches and as people, we can often focus in on doing. So we take Jesus' Great Commission at the end of Matthew very seriously. Go and tell all people, make disciples, tell the good news. At the beginning of a new year, we often think about what we're doing and we think about what we shouldn't be doing or what we could be doing, and we make New Year's resolutions along those lines. But I think there's something here in the Isaiah call, really, that is rather than saying about what we're doing, is saying that God has already and has continually been revealing himself to his people and guiding. Jesus Christ has come, and we are his people. Thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and nations will come to your light. Arise, shine, for your light has come. There's something in these passages here that's saying God is already at work. God's glory is already been revealed. What we need to do is arise, shine, reflect his light, lift up our eyes and look around us. Let's see what God is doing before we start doing our own. Let us join in with what God is doing. Let us see who we are as his people. Let us understand who we are as his people. Let us just be. And so here is the invitation as we enter the new year. Oh, this is... Thank you very much. See, unexpected things all around. Isn't that what the Magi did? They looked at the world around them. They looked at what made sense to them. They saw something of God in it, and they acted on it. And they worshipped God, and their hearts were filled with joy when they saw Jesus Christ. So let us remember that, you know, in a world out there which is bowed down with care and anxiety and darkness, that actually our job is to look around us, see what God is doing, reflect his glory, being with Christ. Amen.